Welcome to The Rundown. I'm your host, Justin Pugliese. This podcast is dedicated to you, the run community. Each episode, we bring you interviews with top athletes and community leaders who share their stories, tips, and tricks to inspire and motivate you to keep running. Ultimately, we're all just here to have fun. From elite athletes to weekend warriors, find out how people get started and why they keep going. So listen up, tell your run buddies, and don't forget to subscribe to The Rundown. You can find us on Apple Music, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
It's crazy, like how sometimes the mind can give up like so easily, and you just have to slam yourself. Like, wake up, dude! You know, you're just missing 5K. So yeah. Don't walk.
Yeah, it's so easy to just like.
Oh, it's so easy to give up.
Yeah.
Yeah. When it's so easy to finish, like. Just 5K to hold up. You're not like having to get more ground. You just hold your ground.
On this episode of The Rundown, we'll talk about following a passion and making your dreams become a reality with triathlete Olivier Morin. We talk about how he followed the process and excelled at the long course distance, which ultimately led him to the starting line at the Ironman World Championships in Kona, Hawaii. This episode is brought to you by Movember, a cause that is recognized for its mustache but has evolved into so much more. In fact, you don't even need to grow a mustache to participate. Keep your beard, grow or don't. What's important is raising awareness for the four biggest health issues facing men today: prostate cancer, testicular cancer, mental health, and suicide prevention. Getting involved is easy. Learn more or donate at Movember.com to help change the face of men's health. In this week's news, I want to bring your attention to the Run to Beer event happening next Wednesday, December 5th. It'll be the fifth and final edition for the 2018 season. As we've done in the past, it's a 5, 7, or 10K run starting at 7 p.m. from the microbrasserie Catarigian, followed by a refreshing beer and a talk with our guest. In the spirit of the holiday season, we will be doing a can drive. All those who contribute will be entered in a draw to win some pretty cool prizes. For more details, you can find the event on Facebook by typing Run, the number 2, and beer. For all those triathletes out there, this past weekend, November 23rd to 25th, it was the Ultraman World Championships on the Big Island of Hawaii. I actually have a few friends that have participated in this event numerous times. It's really incredible when you see someone training and preparing for this event. It takes crew members, it takes a lot of help and support throughout the 3 days. The distances are absolutely insane. Day one is a 10K swim, followed by a 90-mile bike. Day two is a 171.4-mile bike ride, followed by the third day, which is a back-to-back marathon, 52.4 miles. So it's absolutely crazy. Rookie Richard Thompson did not set the fastest run split on the final day. However, the 33-year-old Australian won the whole thing with a 22-hour, 9-minute, and 26-second time for the 321-mile race. He beat defending champion Rob Gray of South Africa by a time of 57 minutes, 32 seconds, which is crazy when you think about the amount of time you spend out there. That's really not a big margin at all. Canadian Tara Norton led the whole way and set the fastest women's time for the 3 days, finishing this year's Ultraman World Championship in a time of 28 hours, 19 minutes, and 35 seconds. I get tired just saying it. That's it for the news. Gotta run. Oftentimes in training, we try and follow somebody that's better than us or that performs at a higher level than you to kind of try and chase them in a sense to get better for in your own sport. In my case, it was triathlon. And my guest today, Olivier, he's here with us. So Olivier, welcome to The Rundown.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Right. Yeah, it's great to have you here. Well, we had you here not too long ago as kind of a test trial for The Rundown, and it's good to have you back officially to kind of get things going officially to get you on the podcast. So I just wanted to see, from you, like, we met through your brother-in-law, Mark Gramba,
who actually in my first triathlon, it was one of my first Ironman events was a 5150. And Mark actually, I was setting up my bike, and Mark wheeled up his bike right next to mine. And I went to high school with him, and I hadn't seen him in years. And it was just like a funny,
happening.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how we reconnected and then started training together. And he told me about you and that you were a triathlete. And kind of like followed you a little bit and what you were doing. So how did that all start for you?
Yeah, I remember the story with Mark and you and him introducing me mm-hmm. to you mm-hmm. and telling me like, oh, he's a good runner. You should look for Justin too. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, awesome.
Yeah.
And yeah, and he was telling me about some of the times you did and like in triathlon. I was like, wow, this guy's like, good swimmer, good biker, good, like, I mean, I'm a runner in my own right, but still, like, very competitive. Triathlon's just a completely different...
Oh, it's a different approach.
Exactly.
Yeah, totally.
Was it always triathlon for you, or, like, how did you get into the sport, and, like, what was your... I always like to ask, like, what your upbringing was, and if you were athletic as a kid.
So, as a kid, I grew up with my father figure was like he ran a lot, mm-hmm. like long distance running, like marathon running, mm-hmm. and biking, like mountain biking. So I grew up doing not a lot, but some of mountain biking, and I kept that doing years and years since I don't know, started at 12 years old till 20 something, almost 30 years old, like only mountain biking. And I started triathlon. It was a Xterra, so you swim, you mountain bike, and you trail run actually.
Okay.
And because I was more like a mountain biker and more a runner than a swimmer, I get off the water like last or pre-last something. So you jump on your bike and you're good at biking. So you all day long you're passing people, and it's fun. Like triathlon is very when you finish the swim, which is the shortest part. Mm-hmm. You're like, okay, that's I'm flying. So I liked it, and I say like, okay, I need more kilometers of biking and running, because more kilometers I have, more good I will be. And looking, and so first I did was a small like découverte, like initiation, like triathlon, so very short. But in Xterra you have like a sprint distance and an Olympic distance, but that's it. There's no long distance in Xterra, so I was like, an Olympic, it's not enough. I need more kilometers on the bike and on the run to make my way up to the top 10 or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I discovered Ironman distances, like half Ironman and, of course, full distance. Like back in the day, it was a big thing about Ironman and Kona, Hawaii. It was all video, like in 2008 or 2010, it was there was like maybe maximum 10 videos on YouTube on that. Like it was so unpopular, mm-hmm. and I was like watching that on my couch. It's a dream like to be an Ironman or to be in Kona, but it's not for me. But I was maybe I will try an half to start, and it started.
Right.
Yeah.
Was that all in France?
Yeah, exactly. Happened? I was living in Grenoble in the Alps.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Good for bike training and
exactly,
the hills.
Right in the mountain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's why you're quite a good cyclist. So that's you get a, you know, some really good
skills at climbings. Yeah, exactly.
Amazing. And did you do your first half Ironman in Europe, in France?
Yeah, in France, Aix-en-Provence. Okay. So it's in the south of France, and it's kind of hilly. There's some cols. Yeah.
And was that the moment where you were hooked? Like, where did the endurance part, like, why did you want more from the sport. You know, some people, like, they go and they'll do like a 5K or like a sprint triathlon and say like, oh no, that's good enough for me. But what was it?
Yeah, like, I started like very, very average. Like I finished my first half Ironman, like just at the middle of the pack. Like, I don't know, if we were like 300 in my age group, I finished like 100, something like that, like very average. And and right after that, we moved. So now with my wife, so we moved to Canada, here in Montreal. And because we moved, like, just she proposed me to move with her, and I say, okay, let's see what Montreal looks like. So I came here like a tourist. And so the point is, okay, I'm going to start doing some papers because I can't stay tourist for long. So eventually I want to work, I want to do something with my life here. So, but that takes time. That takes like a good 8 to 12 months. Mm-hmm. So, and you can't work during those time. So what I was doing, because my wife was working, so.
Was she also from France?
No, she's from here, okay. from Montreal.
Yeah.
So, like, when you have 8 hours a day to do by yourself, okay, I my bike was here, my running shirt were there. So I was like, okay, a bit of running, a bit of biking every day. After 8 months, mm-hmm. you're damn good.
Yeah, happens quick.
Exactly.
So then what was the race? So when did you get over to Canada? How long have you been?
I arrived October 2013.
Okay, so you've been here a good 5 years.
Five years. Yeah.
And the whole time when you got here, you were training triathlon.
I was no, because like I arrived here end of October, so it was kind of a not winter but almost, so the bike was like stored in the garage, but I was running a bit, and I ran a half marathon in April, and I surprised myself. I was like, I don't know, so April 2014, I was expecting like under 140, right. Or like short expectation, but and I ran like 1 hour and a half. I was like, holy hell, wow.
Was that your first half marathon?
Yeah, my first just because I did a half Ironman before, but just a half marathon, yeah, it was my first.
Okay.
And I was very surprised and very happy with my time. I didn't expect that. Mm. I was like, if I did 130, like not without too much expectation, if I have expectation, where can I go? And that started the trigger. It's what's motivated me. So yeah.
It was that back in 2013 as well. I guess 2014. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. So you got into like the three sport events. So Xterra, and then is Xterra it's called?
Yeah, Xterra. Yeah.
And then triathlon. So bike, swim, run, and then went into the just running alone.
Exactly.
Because you were a cyclist mainly before.
Yeah, mountain biking more. Yeah,
but then
you
saw some potential in the running.
Exactly. Exactly. So I developed more running because it was the easiest sport to do. Like you don't need to have a pool. You don't need to have a bike, and because biking, it's there's a lot of constraint because you need to have at least 2 hours. No snow, no ice, and
no traffic.
Yeah,
which here is impossible.
Yeah, no potholes.
Yeah. So where did you go from there? It was a 1 hour, 1.5 hour.
So my brother-in-law Mark, he was into triathlon too, and so he also pushed me, but motivated me to race, and he told me like, oh, I'm interested in doing a. An Ironman, not just a half, but a full. Mm-hmm. I was like, if you're doing one, because he was working like full time. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I had the whole time in my life. I was like, if you're doing one, yes, I'm doing one. Because, yeah, of course, it's motivating to have a crew with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Were you working at that time? Is that why?
I just start to work because now we are in 2015, mm-hmm. It's the year I did my first full Ironman.
Yeah.
Yeah, here in Canada in Muskoka.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a nice and hilly bike. I loved it.
Crazy. Yeah. And what was that experience like for you? Do you remember that one?
Yeah, I remember that one. It was very good. So my swim skills were like very poorly actually. But I did okay, like swimming middle of the pack. Okay, biking and a good run. Yeah. So I finished. I didn't expect it to be top three or top five. I did 8 or 10. Maybe I did top 10 on my age group.
Yeah.
So for our first experience on the distance, I was very happy, like a standard road bike
You just need something to
exactly
wheels.
to keep. Yeah.
Did you like when I first started, it was self-taught, you know, you just.
Oh yeah, no coach, and basically you're just learning. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Is that how it was for you too?
Exactly. Like? What's the nutrition will be? You can't do a 10-hour race in training, so you just adjust at the time, and it's the first experience. No one wins at the first time.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have to learn.
Have to look that up, maybe. But how did you build the plan? And was it all like trial and error and stuff? Or what was the, like for an Ironman, like I was lucky enough to have a coach for that. Mm-hmm. I did up to the Olympic on my own and then met my coaches and they set me up with the half Ironman plan and the Ironman plan. So I felt pretty comfortable. I could bounce ideas off them. Did you have that, somebody other than Mark, or was it?
No, unfortunately, no, I didn't have like a... But I do like reading, yeah. So a lot of blogs, few books, and listening to podcasts mm-hmm. also, yeah, it helps. And so you just learn from experienced people, but more online and through books.
And is that what you would suggest to other people too who want to get involved in the sport?
It is a way, it is a way to learn about technical stuff, because also, yeah, there's like tons of topics about gears and what type of bike, what type of wheels, wetsuits, nutrition strategies, yeah.
Well, you saw like Lionel Sanders just changed his bike from Garneau to Canyon.
What he didn't change?
What's that? What didn't he change?
Yeah,
he changed everything.
Yeah, like, from his diet to yeah.
Crazy.
He
right?
Just kept the same wife, but that's it.
Exactly. Crazy. So I know you're a coach too. So what kind of advice do you give people just like getting into the sport?
Oh yeah, but I enjoy like giving like advice like to even to beginners to like advanced age group. Mm-hmm. So I also now I coach one pro athlete. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's kind of cool. Yeah. So like training plan from even like special session, like if athletes need to have like to be with me or during a workout, like for running, biking. I don't advise them to swim with me because I improved a lot, but still I'm not like an expert into swimming. Mm-hmm. But if someone needs to be paced for running, for biking, yeah.
Okay, cool.
And building the training plan for the season. Yeah.
You're getting into that, so that's great. So after your first Ironman, what was the, like a lot of people would say again, you know, that's enough for me, you know, like where's the drive to continue going forward? You saw like some improvement clearly like in your performances and.
Exactly. So, and I was lucky. So after my Ironman, so I enjoyed it and I knew for my wife, it's a very contrarian, like to restrain.
Time consuming.
Time consuming. So. what I did, I took the next year, not off, but like only half Ironman. Mm-hmm. And so you focus more on the speed because it's less endurance. And my wife was nice enough to buy me a home trainer, like a tax base.
Yeah.
But it was a smart trainer. But back in 2015 or 2016, it was the first models. Like no one, like few people had that. It's like 3 years ago, but
high tech.
It's back in the day. It was high tech. And I discovered those training, like all those videos and all those softwares. So it the software controls your trainer. For not today, it's normal, like everyone has that. But back in the day, like I knew like maybe five people having that. Mm-hmm. And being capable of training with that, it helped me a lot. And I saw it directly the next competition. I was like, wow, I'm in the lead. I was like, what the hell? I'm poor leader and not before the end of the bike. I'm in the lead. That was insane. Yeah,
that's crazy. And so which race was that? Was that?
Oh, like any small event. Or okay. Yeah. I can tell like my time, you know, biking around like with Strava, you know, like, oh, now we have all those comms and all those cups and like, why now?
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah. It's like you just saw the instant improvement, because in the winter time it's super hard to train for the bike.
Exactly. And it's super boring on a normal, on a basic trainer, like you watching TV, so you're not focusing on what you're doing, or you're playing video games, so you're not focusing on what you're doing. Mm-hmm. But with a smart trainer and the right plan, it's interactive. It's not the junk miles, and you amazing. Improve it a lot. Yeah.
So I know we raced probably back in 2016, the half in Trembla.
Yeah.
That was the one we raced together.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I was going for my, I was going for my first full.
Exactly. In Trembla.
In Trembla, yeah, that was like.
Really? Oh yeah, it was raining a lot. I remember that.
Really
yeah.
wet day. Did you do that?
Mark did it.
Yeah, Mark,
with you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Man, he had a really rough day that day.
No, I was lucky enough. It was my wedding actually. So I stayed because I get married in France. So I remember Mark came and he was like, okay, but I have to leave, blah, blah, blah. I don't know how, because he was racing Ironman Mont-Tremblant with you.
Right.
So by luck, I wasn't participating because of my wedding. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, luck. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Mark, remember that day, like had some problem with his knee or something.
Exactly.
Like that.
Yeah, he walked a bit during the marathon.
But he finished it, you know, it's like such a crazy sport when you could race, you could train the same way for two different events and have completely different results. And you know, one time it's raining, one time it's like really, really hot.
Really hot, yeah.
You just gotta train in everything and like be prepared for everything, because you never know what can happen, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So what was the, I know you qualified finally, or you know, your story is pretty crazy because you actually qualified for the World Championships in Kona, which is like a huge accomplishment, so like congrats for that.
Thank you.
You raced that in 2017, right?
2017. So I qualified in 2017. So my first full Ironman was like
Lake Placid, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. So 2016, I just did maybe two half Ironman, Mont-Tremblant and Silverman in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Okay.
And then 2017, and 2016 also, I did my first marathon in Ottawa. So the point was to qualify to Boston, so which we did together in 2017. So 2017, I had planned Boston Marathon, half Ironman Mont-Tremblant, and full Ironman Lake Placid.
It feels like 2017. It was actually 2018, the Boston.
Oh, Boston, it was 2017 and 2018. We did.
It's true, you're right. Yeah, but we ran more together this year.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, my plan, because I knew I was good athlete. So my point was to jump from an okay athlete to a very good athlete to make the cut for Kona, because I knew like life is going and next step will be like buying a house, having a kid, so still being like not single but married, but not with too many constraints. I was like, I have to enjoy that to make this happen. So I knew I had to run like a sub-3-hour marathon. I had to be like under 4.5 on a half Ironman to complete the full in time to qualify. So I had all those checklists with me during the year, and I knew before running Boston, okay, just run like a 250 pace and hold it, and if you do it good, next you have to run a 4.5 hour, like half Ironman, and everything went through the plan I knew, and that was perfect. So 250 for Boston Marathons and 420 for the half Ironman in Tremblant, and I finally get Ironman Lake Placid, like a 9 hour and 20 minute. And
crazy.
Yeah, second of my age group. And yeah, very, very happy, and just qualify for Hawaii Kona, and raced Kona, but like more relaxed. Like, yeah, I don't have to prove, like, and you can't prove anything. Like, it's just a world championship. So, yeah.
You have all the pros around you.
Exactly.
Everybody.
Oh, it's a nice experience.
Everyone of everybody is there. It's red carpet treatment. That's how people have described it to me anyways, you know?
So the plan for me, because you have like all those tables, like online, you just look at the results and you can look at last year or the year before. So you just take the table and you know, like, okay, this is my age group. Top three, it's this time, so I have to be this time, and that's easy. You just know, like, okay, I have to be under 9 hour and 30 minutes to get on the podium. So it's the bike part is that much with elevation. So my ratio, like watts on kilos, has to be this much to bike that fast, and you just work with it. So I knew, like, for I don't know, like I was like 160 pound, maybe 156. So I knew my FTP has to be like 300 and something, 320. So I started in October, so 9 months before the race, my FTP was like 270, something like that. So it was a big job to do, but step by step, and yeah.
Can you explain FTP for?
Oh, it's a functional threshold power. So on your bike, you're doing a test, like for running, you do a half Cooper test. So you're running on a track, and you measure your distance on 6 minutes or 12 minutes. So for the bike, you just you do your warm up and you do 20 minute all out. And if it sounds fun, it's not good. It should be like hell during 20 minutes. And you measure your average power during those 20 minutes. And with this average power, you take 95%, and this give you your FTP. So basically, it's the amount of power you can hold for an hour. And so this sets the pace for your race, for your training, for everything. That's what is nice with a smart trainer, because once you set your FTP in the software, this actually control your trainer, and it give you the pace you should hold. So if you want if you're tired and you want to relax, now you can, because if you start pedaling slower, the resistance like increase and you just can't relax. So it's like a treadmill when you set the speed, the belt and the engine accelerate, you just deal with it. You can't stop.
Slow it down.
Yeah. It's not because on the track, if you're tired, you slow down and then you slow down. But on the machine, no, the machine doesn't feel like you're tired. You shut it and you run.
Just as easy as that, right?
Exactly. It's like, so
big deal. Where did you? Because you're self-taught, like, and you still are self-taught, no?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How do you? Because I have doubts myself about, like, in my training, how prepared I am for a race. Like, you really have to trust the process, talk to people around you. But how do you, like, being self-taught, figure that out? Like, from like your progression over a period of 3 years was like incredible. Like, you clearly had some talent from the beginning, but how do you learn yourself? Like, how do you teach yourself to become better, to become a better athlete when you're doing it on your own?
Yeah, you also can measure it. With for me, it's because I do a lot of training indoor. Like, I do love treadmills. I love my bike trainer, and I do way more than indoor training than outdoor. And it's, you can see the number, like, every time, like, how many my heart rate is, what's my cadence, what's my watt. So I can tell, like, if I do the training I was doing, like, every 4 weeks, I repeat it, I can see how it goes. And so at the beginning I was doing like a build of intensity over 3 weeks, and then 1 week of recovery. But soon enough, I was showing like my numbers. The third week, I was like barely capable of holding the power I was supposed to. Like, my cadence like drop, the frequency of my pedaling. So and. I could tell like I was like exhausted, and so I say like, okay, just switch, make build on 2 weeks and 1 week recovery, and it worked well. Yeah, so you can tell by sometimes the numbers, sometimes the exhaustions, also the food. Like I remember like going on my bike. And start working out, and suddenly, like a small pain in a knee, and I've never been injured in my life. I was like, why do my knees hurt? Like, I don't know. I don't remember if it was the left or the right. But I'm biking like almost every day, not much, but maybe an hour or an hour and a half, but almost every day. I never had something, but why do my knee hurt? And so you just try to remember, okay, what did change in the last like few weeks in my life? Like, did I change my seat post or something with a bike? And no change, but I was like, hold on, it's been like 2 weeks. I haven't eaten like meat for any reason, because I do love enjoy a lot of salads, and so just try that. Okay, so let's go to nice burger place and have like a big steak. And the next day, I was fine. So just listen to your body and be careful about every change. Because, I'm sure we can be fine without any meat in your diet. But you can't switch from like this. You have to be like progressive, I guess.
Yeah, there's a certain level of adaptation.
Exactly,
takes.
But
I did that in what was it, the second Ironman that I did. So I did the one in 2016, which went well. I was really happy for the first one, and then and the conditions were pretty miserable. It was raining, raining the whole time on the bike and whatever. But then I changed my diet to vegan the following June, right before Ironman in August in Tremblant again. And I don't know, I had some really bad stomach issues.
Oh, yeah.
Coming off the bike and then on the run, I couldn't digest. It just was bad. Like I felt bloated, you know? Mm-hmm. And I can't say that, I don't know if it was that in the end, but it was really a sudden change. And, you know, watching, like we referred to Lionel Sanders before, he's a pro triathlete. He also went to veganism recently. And, you know, he went from second place last year to 38th place this year. And I mean, it's a lot of things, but, you know, you have to question his diet change and the time at which he did it, you know?
He also did a big mistake. It was this year, like Ironman Mont-Tremblant, where he dropped, he had to walk on the marathon and stop like three times to empty his guts during the marathon. And he told after that the interview saying like, oh yeah, last month I lost 8 pounds. I stopped eating that. I wanted to be lighter so I can go faster on the bike. No, you can't lose weight and gain like a speed. Like it's a lot of constraint for the body to lose weight. It's actually, so it takes a lot of energy to lose weight. Yeah,
exactly.
So it has to be like step by step. So not both at the same time.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's really, really, you got, and like you were saying, you have to listen to your body. Rest is super important. And what you're putting inside is important.
It is a big thing. Like I know a lot of people like, oh, I weigh too much. I'm too fat. So I have to lose weight. But it's not. It's good to lose weight if you overweight, but it's not because you're light that you will be performing. For me, I was surprised. Like I took like few pounds and I was actually faster. Yeah, on the bike.
Okay. Yeah, more power, maybe.
Exactly.
More power in your legs or all that bike
and
training.
And you have more calorie to burn.
Yeah, that's true too.
Because if you're empty and you have to deliver something, your body won't allow you to go all out. It will have some limits.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Can you talk about the Kona experience a little bit?
Yeah.
Just like share like what that was like. I mean, when you got the, maybe right from the time when you qualified, like you, so to qualify the giveaway, there's spots that you can get if you place within your age group, top in your age group. So exactly. You did that. You got the spot. What was that experience all like? You know, was it like a dream come true for you?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
That was your number one.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah. I was like so in Lake Placid. It was hard. It was going on the bike like very hard. And I remember I was like off the bike and I was like, four of my age group, I was like, okay, go chase them. And so I finished second of my age group. First one was like, it was an ex-professional athlete, so no way I can get that guy. But yeah, remember on the marathon being second, and I was like so cooked, so tired, and I was like, okay, I'm gonna walk because my legs are like, so yeah. So
you're finished.
Yeah. And I was like, you know what? You know, you always have this little voice in your head. You know what?
Yeah.
Let's try. The heavy lifting is done, so I can get it next year. So just. And the next second, I was like, no, you're not going to do that again next year. You just keep going and do it now. You just don't repeat that all over again because, it's crazy. Like, how the mind can give up like so easily, and you just have to slam yourself. Like, wake up, dude! You're not. You're just missing 5K. So yeah. Don't walk.
It's so easy to just like...
Oh, it's so easy to give up.
Yeah.
Yeah, when it's so easy to finish, like, just 5K to hold up, you're not like having to get more ground. You just hold your ground. Yeah. So just don't make the guy from the back come back on at you. That's it. They have to make the move. You don't have to to prove yourself. Yeah.
If it feels easy, then it's like...
Yeah.
Then you can.
Oh yeah. Then you're doing it wrong.
You know?
Yeah.
Exactly. But it's so true.
And well, it depends. I know, like 90% of the triathletes are just doing it for fun, so it should feel easy. Yeah.
I agree.
But it depends of what you're expecting of yourself.
But
yeah.
That's what I love about these sports is you can do them. You can do running and just like, even if you're not competitive, you can still like want to be better than you were last time out.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Yeah.
Like we're not all finishing podium, and we joke around with you a lot about like or a triathlon friends group about you going pro potentially. But
yeah.
Well, because you're performing like a professional. That's the difference. It's not just like, hey, why don't you go for it? It's like
when you're passing professionals
in a race.
Yeah.
It's like, and you're not a paid athlete or anything like that. You're just like, you're one of us, you know?
Exactly.
But, you know, we put the work in and that's, you get the results, you know? So that's more power to you, you know? And so what was Kona like? What was that like? Like you must feel there like...
It is very nice. Like it's electrizing. Like you come on the... It's the big island. And on a race week, it's only like racers. Like you're looking everywhere. Like everyone is like so sharp. Like there's no like average athlete. Like everyone looks like a pro. Actually, you're like, did I see this guy or this girl on TV? No, maybe not. It's just an age group. But then you see some pros. Yeah, all the pros, all the best pros are there. And it's crazy. Like everyone is biking hard, swimming hard every day, and running, and all over the island.
Yeah,
yeah, it's electrizing. And yeah, and you feel like you feel average, actually.
Yeah?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
I bet it's like without all that like star power around you, it's like, and you were there the year that Lionel finished second, too.
Exactly.
And we're mentioning Lionel because he's Canadian, too, so we're proud of him. He's in our triathlon club Facebook group.
Exactly, and we spoke with him every year at the Half Ironman of Mont-Tremblant. Yeah,
Tremblant, yeah.
Yeah.
Really nice guy.
Taking a picture, and yeah. So now he's very popular because we were, like, not friend, but we were close with him. We were following him since the beginning, like right. 2015.
Yeah.
We were, and now Lionel is very famous since last year, maybe. Because I remember, like, 2015, 2016, he was like, okay, I'm at this stand and giving autograph. There were, like, five people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I went this year because he was like, oh, okay, I'm at, I don't know which stand, if it's Garneau or Sportium, or I don't know. And I was like... I don't know, maybe...
Lots.
Hundreds. I was like,
yeah.
Oh, I'm not doing the line.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Crazy.
Yeah, yeah, it's crazy. Good for him.
Like, oh, yeah.
So
no,
nice.
For sure.
And for the triathlon, yeah.
Yeah, it's good for the sport. Yeah. It's good triathlon in Canada as well. So it's, yeah, for sure. It's not, you're right, though. He's really gained a lot of popularity. Even in Boston, the first year I went, he was there running with his mom.
Yeah, yeah, true.
And we went to the Skechers booth and he was there and nobody was waiting. It was just like...
And this year it was Tim Dunn.
Okay. Oh, yeah, Tim Dunn, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Was that your first time in the ocean or...?
I think so, yes. Yes, it was my first time in the ocean.
Okay, cool. And what was that like?
So, good thing. It's very warm.
Okay.
Like, you don't need wetsuit, and the thing I didn't like, it was salty. It was so salty, like insane. Like you on your lips, on your tongue, it feel like so gross. So I'm lucky enough because my wife came with me and she loves swimming. Like she swims good, so it was, and she didn't bring her bike, so she was insisting like, okay, I don't bike, I don't enjoy running because it's too hot, so let's swim. So she was asking me to come with her like every morning. So that's good for the acclimatation, because the first 2 or 3 morning I was like, this is awful to swim. Like I'm barely like half an hour in swimming, and it's very, very like, I don't know. It's a
the current and stuff, is
no,
it?
No, not the current, but the salt.
Okay.
But after like few days, I get more used to it. Yeah. It's not nice and easy, but I was able to support it, like to swim like an hour, and not be like.
Because that's about what it is.
Yeah,
it's 3.8K.
Yeah,
in the water.
About an hour. Yeah.
And was it the same thing for the running and the biking too? Like, was the heat really, was it really hot?
Yeah, it was very hot.
Hawaii, so.
But for the bike, it was more about the wind.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, because when you're biking with the speed, you don't feel the heat. But, yeah, but the heat is here. So, you have to keep in mind, like, okay, stay hydrated and... Yeah, you're keeping in, because it, when it's hot, it's, for me, it's hard to heat, because you don't have the feeling about, oh, I'm hungry, or you don't feel it, but you have to remember, okay, eat your gel, eat your bars, eat, have your fluid intake. Yeah.
Did you have a different plan for Kona? Than
no, it was, I know how much I consume. I know, like, it's... It's about one granola bar every 45 minutes, and about 1 liter every 2 hours of water plus Gatorade.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you test that in training usually?
Like exactly.
That's how you know.
Yeah.
Trial and error kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. And when you train indoor, like you sweat a lot, so...
Yeah, makes a lot of noise too, eh?
It makes a lot of noise too, but most of people who train outdoor, and here in Canada it's not that hot, so you don't sweat that much, but in Kona you sweat a lot. And you don't feel it because it's so humid, like it's 88% of humidity,
okay.
Or close to 90% of humidity.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So you sweat, but you don't feel sweating a lot.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, we could have used some of that heat in Boston this year, I think.
Oh, I guess so.
As a little segue to Boston.
It was the opposite.
That was a real, like, for me, it was a pleasure to kind of, well, because I can't keep up with you in triathlon, so that's one thing. But, like, at least in the marathon this year, we had a similar goal, so.
Yeah, exactly.
You had ran 250 the year before, and I wanted to run close to 250 this year in Boston, and just kind of have my, like, I don't know. I really enjoyed my first Boston, but my time was not reflect on like me as a runner at all. It was just more like you're saying about Kona.
First experience.
Yeah, just go and enjoy it, and you have nothing to prove. You got there, right? So
exactly. Once you're qualified, then
yeah. But I remember it was like the year before. You think the conditions were perfect?
Oh, right? For me, yeah, because I've trained indoor all winter, so I was like. So used to that heat.
Heat, yeah.
Yeah. For me, it was like, yeah, it's a day in training.
And I kind of got, I don't deal well in the heat at all. So, but it was, what a day that was. It was, rain, wind.
Horizontal rain.
Cold, yeah, exactly. And then, yeah, we were lucky enough to grab the bus in the morning. It was, we had a plan to start.
Oh, we arrived just in time, but it was way too much time. Like for me, I was badly dressed. Yeah, short and t-shirt. Now it's no.
Crazy, no. Eh?
Yeah. It was too cold. Like, so we started like together. We had like a good pace till kilometer 25, something like that. Yeah. And I remember,
we had a goal, right? It was 20 minutes.
Yeah, it was like a 4-minute pace.
Yeah.
So we all we all that like during like at least 25, maybe till 28. But I remember like before the kilometer 30, I tried to catch a gel. So I was like some volunteers on the side of the street, like holding gels, and so I extend my right hand, and I hit the gel with my hand, and my finger was like still like I couldn't close my hand, like my finger wasn't moving, my arm was moving, but not my finger. I was like, oh damn, I'm frozen. Like, and to catch another gel, I have to make like a clamp with my other hand, like to clap my two hands together to grab a gel, and then moving my finger, I was like, damn, I'm in hypothermia. And I was like, yeah, it's very bad.
And for people that don't know, like Boston's in April.
Yeah.
The conditions were one of the worst, I think.
Mid-April, yeah. It was like...
one of the worst like ever.
8 degrees, something like that, 6-8 degrees. Like pouring rain.
Yeah.
And... face wind, yeah, terrible,
crazy. Terrible. I still don't like, and that's why in training now it's like whenever I'm faced with the wind like that or anything, I just always think back to that day because it was like you can see and you what you saw was like the even the professionals, the times were
it's severely it's affected. Not a professional who won, it's a edge grouper who won Boston Marathon this year.
Yeah.
As a professional, did the Kenyans, and they didn't hold the call neither.
Yeah,
and the something specific with Boston, it's nice, but it's you have to take in consideration that it's not a loop, so you start 40k kilometers away from Boston, so you have to pack, you have to leave your bag at Boston. Then you go in a bus, so everything you take with you, you leave it there. So you go light, like I was in short and t-shirts. And then you are in the, at the start line and you wait for the, I don't know how many, 30,000 people?
Yeah.
13 maybe? I don't know. But so many, so it takes so many times and you just wait standing still in this weather. And yeah, it's... It was stupid for me to go in short and t-shirt, like
yeah. Well, I mean, I was in shorts and a long sleeve, but I remember you saying that we needed to eat while we were waiting because
you're burning calories, like
which is something you don't always think of, you know,
exactly,
because your body's fighting the cold to stay warm, and then you know, but once you get there, like you go into hypothermia when you're moving, it's okay, but it was
When the race started, when we started running, I was like okay, yeah, but I think it's the waiting before, yeah, it's
no, it was like getting a bucket of water poured on you like every
yeah, I remember. Oh yeah,
it would just come.
But it was good. I'm glad I didn't I still have a decent time. I'm happy with my time. Yeah
we got it done and that's it.
Yeah.
And then, and then after that, I know your goals shifted a little bit. You had Kona, you did Boston. I think maybe getting a little bit of, you know, you're starting to want to start a family, and you went in back into the half Ironmans, right?
Exactly. It's it's my plan. Like, I'm doing like a full Ironman like every 2 years. So I did one in 2015, 2017. So yeah, this year it was like no full Ironman. But because now to register for a half Ironman in Mont Tremblant, you have to register the day when it's open. So you have to do like a year before. So I was already registered for the year.
So it's way too popular now.
I had Boston half Ironman of Mont Tremblant and half Ironman of Maine this year.
Right.
And my goal was to qualify at Maine for the World Championship, because for next year the World Championship will be in France. So it's a good opportunity to spend spend some holidays there and to see the family.
Mm.
Yeah.
And they want to meet your new baby boy too.
Exactly. Sure. Yeah.
It was all planned out. to a T almost, you could say.
Yeah, it worked actually. Yeah, so because the baby wasn't born yet, I learned my wife was pregnant in January. So we did Boston and Half Ironman Maine in August. So he still wasn't born, but so I didn't know when, if I, because how old will it be? But sure, he will be with us in France.
Yeah. Amazing. Yeah. And so, how does that look like you as a father now with training and all this? Like, is it something you want to continue? Is it?
Yeah, it's definitely something I want to continue because of space. Like, we have a small house. So now the crib took the place of the home trainer, actually.
Yeah. You got bumped.
Yeah, exactly. So so now I'm just focusing on running most of all. Yeah, so, but, you know, when you train a lot, doing like 6 to 8 hours a week feels nothing, but still, like, I'm used to train, like, at least when I was... when I was training for Lake Placid to qualify, the statistic says like to qualify you have to average 18 hours a week to train. That's what an average athlete do who qualified. So I was like, okay, let's do that. So I was used to do like minimum 12, like very minimum 12 hours to maximum like 28. So now when you do 8, my wife is like, oh, you spend a lot of time in the house and you're still training 8 hours a week. So that's good.
Right, because you're shaving yourself 10 hours of training. Exactly. But what is, just for the people, and I find this it's a challenge sometimes, you know, when we talk about time.
Yep.
It's time management. If you want to be a triathlete or if you want to, you know, get a little, you know, get better at anything, you got to put in a little bit more time, a little bit more volume. So what does that look like? 18 hours of training a week,
yep,
and 40 hours of work a week. Like, what are the tricks to time management when it comes to,
to that? So I am a morning person.
Right.
So, and my, yeah, well, I'm more focusing on the bike and on the run. It's those parts that I love most. Mm. So I actually, like, I run every day in the morning, like before work. So like waking up at 5 or 6, it depends, but now 6, or maybe sometime it was 5, but I don't remember well. But so at least like every morning, an hour of run, working, and then after work, 1 hour to 2 hours of bike, and I alternate. Like, so let's say one day I bike, the next day I bike easy and I swim. So 1 hour running every morning, and at night, 2 hours of bike, or 1 hour of bike and 1 hour of swim.
That's the secret.
So it's 3 hours. Every day.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you break it down like that, it sounds easy.
It sounds easy, but it's a lot of time. Like, I was lucky enough, like, my wife works in the Nunavut territory, so it's in the Arctic.
Yeah.
So I was, like, just by myself, so it's, like, it's single life. Yeah.
Crazy. And, like, my coaches who trained for Ultra, also in Kona,
yeah,
when I met them, that's what they were doing. They were biking to work, like, bike commute.
Mm-hmm.
Bike to work, yeah. Bike home, run to work, run home, yeah. Get their swims in sometimes after work or on the weekends, their long swims, you know, but it's just what it takes. Cause you can't go home and, you know, make a decision. You just gotta do it when you have that much to do, you know?
Oh yeah. Yeah, exactly.
It's too much. So what's next for you? I know you got the world championships next year in France, but is there any like run goals you had in mind?
I will keep. Yeah, I love the sport, so I will keep doing it. I'm already register next year because you have to register a year in advance. Mm-hmm. But I'm going like shorter distances next year. I'm going back to the 5150.
Okay, nice.
The Olympic triathlon in Tremblant. My wife, she's doing it too. So now she's also back back in sport after after the pregnancy.
Great.
Yeah, a few local races. I don't know if I'm doing a marathon next year. Maybe I would like to try to match your new marathon, Pierre. Like yeah. you did very good in a few weeks ago in Toronto.
Yeah.
So yeah, I have a 30K plan to do, and I just bought some skating ski. Like they are brand new. Yeah, bought that yesterday, so I want to do that like this winter.
Like cross country?
Yeah, okay. Skating.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, not in the rails, but skating. Okay. Skating skis.
Cool.
Yeah, it's a good sport.
So
yeah.
For cross training.
Exactly.
A little bit.
Yeah, yeah. So
do you do any weight training too?
No, not much, but no. I don't have to, but yeah, it should be nice to incorporate. Yeah.
No time for that.
We always find time. Like yeah. It's just like the motivation to do it, and because I don't have a background into weight training, so if I start, I should do it. I want to do it properly, so I have to read what to do, when to start, and so
do your homework.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You do it properly. Don't do like Lionel.
Cool. And I just want to ask you, like, where can people find out more information about you and your coaching and
all? Yeah, this? I have my a website or my Instagram. It's my triathlon, or on the website. It's mytriathlon.ca. Yeah.
And you like answer questions there and
yeah, exactly. You can contact me and ask your question, everything.
Awesome. Really cool. Well, Olivier, thanks again for coming by today.
Ah, you're welcome.
I was in a little bit short notice, but really appreciate it. And I love chatting about triathlon and running with you. And hopefully we get a chance to race again sometime soon.
This episode is brought to you by Movember, a cause that is recognized for its mustache but has evolved into so much more. In fact, you don't even need to grow a mustache to participate. Keep your beard, grow or don't. What's important is raising awareness for the four biggest health issues facing men today: prostate cancer, testicular cancer, mental health, and suicide prevention. Getting involved is easy. Learn more or donate at Movember.com to help change the face of men's health. Thank you for joining us on this week's episode of The Rundown. Please make sure to visit us at imarunner.ca. You can also follow us on Instagram and Twitter at WRGRuns. And let us know what you think using the hashtag TheRundown. We hope you enjoyed our show. Now take what you've learned and run with it. The Rundown is a production by WRG Media, recorded in the historic RCA building in downtown Montreal. Produced and recorded by Forrest McKay. Our executive producers, Leslie and Lindsay Woods. Graphics and illustrations created by Ryan Bondi and assisted by Mark Grimberg. Marketing by Jill Garcia and hosted by me, Justin Pugliese.